Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, we're going to do who the F sells this S in the first half. We'll also get into my notions about Big Brother and being a Catholic Big Brother and what we need for this country. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure you do. And it can be hard work. Let's make things easy. Go to Geico and get your bundle going. That makes it easy. Take your automotive policy and bundle it up with your homeowners or your renter's insurance. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. Geico makes it easy to get your bundle on at Geico.com.
Hi, I'm Jingle Jared. I'm the number one jingle writer of all time. No big deal. Anyways, I sold my business, and now I'm looking for a new job. In my podcast, called Occupational Therapy, Conversations from the Audio Chateau, I sit down with experts across every imaginable field of work. I know a lot of exceptionally talented folks, including comedians, head of multinational companies, pro athletes, pro gamers, celebrity chefs, and even some of the top TV show creators of all time. With the help of my co-host, Zach Selwyn, I'm going to talk to as many of those people as I possibly can to look for my next occupation. This is an opportunity for me to learn something new and show the world that it takes a lot of education, dedication, and perspiration to achieve at a high level across any field. Join me every Wednesday on Occupational Therapy, Conversations from the Audio Chateau, an Audio Up podcast.
Ooh, la, la. Audio Up.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Richard Kind. With Gia Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of who the fuck sells this shit. And now, Lynch wrote a killer 420 intro joke, but got so high he forgot he wrote this joke yesterday. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on a trip. Get it on. Welcome to the show, and thanks for sharing with a friend. Saw the ratings went up last week. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Me, in favor of legalizing all drugs.
Love it.
All right, I have thoughts. My first is thinking about the nation coming apart at the seams and thinking about how this big division between black and white. And then, as you know, I always think all these roads lead back to these fatherless children. And
do you think it's as much a division between black and white as it is a it's perpetuated, you know what I mean?
I think it's news cycle and politicians.
Like, I don't feel like divided from a lot of
I don't think average white people and average black people feel that way. I just feel like it's a beating of the drum. I don't
a
know
narrative.
If the politicians do it first or the news does it first, but it becomes a sort of a cycle, becomes
benefit,
a theme, and they both benefit, and then they just beat the drum about Jim Crow 2.0 and about systemic racism. It just perpetuates itself, and it just keeps going and going and going. So if you literally just watched the news or you watched the politicians and you weren't from this country or from another planet, you just turn on the TV, you'd be like, oh my God, it's a race war.
Right.
Like, people,
just what Charles Manson wanted.
Right. So, but that's going on. And I hope more people are just sort of tuning it out and getting on with their lives. But I was also thinking to myself, never been a better time for the Big Brother program.
Mm.
So I was talking to Dr. Drew about this, and he said that
I still got to be around, right?
Yeah, they're around. Well, somebody called our show, me and Dr. Drew's show, mentioned he was a big brother, and he was taking a cue from me saying that I was a big brother back in the day. And then Drew mentioned something that he's mentioned before, but I forgot about. They say that one good adult relationship, like one kid who doesn't have a dad, if he can have a meaningful relationship with an adult male,
yep.
I presume, outside of the house, that they do 70% better.
I
just
totally
need
that
one guy to intervene.
Absolutely.
And I thought, well, this is a big deal. And you know, all the stuff you hear about, all the, you know, the news reports it as bad cop shootings, but 13-year-olds out on the street at 3 a.m. shooting guns, there could be some issues there with the dad in the home, I would say.
It's also bad shooting.
It's also, yeah, it's both, but one is kind of unavoidable. If you have a guy with a gun and you're called and he's shooting the gun, and also, when the cops show up at 3 in the morning, they don't know how old this person is.
Right.
They just know they got a report with a guy and a gun, and then the guy has the gun, and he throws the gun and then gets shot a tenth of a second later. I mean, it's going to be really hard to sort that stuff out, or to just go eliminate it, or show up with cops that don't have guns, or have social workers intervene. Like, it's all great, but really, the heart of the matter is, what's the kid out at 13 with a gun for?
How did we get here?
How did we get here at 3 in the morning?
Right.
So that would seem like a more sensible way to stem the tide of this. Politicians' news, not interested in that. They want the outcome part, not the causational part. But anyway, I thought, big brothers. And then I thought, it makes a big difference. And this guy was calling us, said he got the kid. The kid didn't have the dad. You know, you could imagine that the kid's life would not go on that trajectory where you're out in the middle of the night shooting guns. And then I thought, never spoken of. It's a neither here nor there kind of thing, you know?
Well, two thoughts. One, we just had the guest on a few months ago who maybe it was longer, talked about mentorship, and that's really what this is, right? The importance of mentor. You're really mentoring a child. It's not your child. Number two, I wonder, because I haven't heard a lot about it recently. I'm looking on their website, and it's just called the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America, not Catholic Big Brothers, Catholic Big Sisters. Did it fall out of favor with the Catholic Church scandals? And obviously, you know, you have that inherent problem, visual problem with bad optics, with the older man and the younger boy and blah, blah, blah. Like, did it fall out of favor with the scandals of a few, I don't know, decade and a half ago.
That's interesting.
Maybe.
What I thought you were going to say, because I was sort of thinking, I think I got a little Adam on me on this one, when you said that doesn't say Catholic anymore, I thought you were going to say, did it fall out of favor with the sort of woke non-religious masses of like, well, it sounds religious, I'm not interested.
Well, we don't like, well, there's probably some of each. We don't like the Boy Scouts anymore.
Right.
We don't like bygone things with titles that harken back to it a different time.
True, but the Boy Scouts also had their own scandal. They may have fallen out of favor, you know.
A lot of organizations have scandals. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't usually change the name of the organization. I just think it's a kind of a, we don't like quaint anymore. Like, we don't like whatever you grew up with. We want something different than that. So whatever, Catholic.
Right.
I don't know if that hurt the program or not, but either way, we need a Big Brother program. Do not care what the denomination is. And I was thinking to myself, what could be more impactful than this? And, you know, we're constantly talking about, you know, prison overcrowding and cop reform and black-on-black crime and stuff. What could be more impactful than this? And we have talked about probably murder hornets more in the last year than we've talked about this. You know, we talk about this sort of stuff, you know, climate change and stuff like that. We talk about this sort of really big stuff. And we talk about the little stuff, like murder hornets. We don't really talk about the medium-sized stuff that would actually get something done. And I'd love it if politicians or news anchors or whatever start talking about mentorships and Big Brother programs, stuff like that. But then I got back to my freeway signs.
Okay.
Los Angeles could use some Big Brothers. Throw it up there on the goddamn sign.
That would be great.
And tell everyone they get a break on their next registration when they buy a car or whatever if they
be a
sign
mentor.
Up. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Just be a mentor and just put the 800 number, whatever it is, or the website up there and just have millions of people passing under that and make a little impact here.
That's a great idea. My first thought, unfortunately, I mean, it's perfect. And of course they should do that. But if anyone has had any brushings or know anyone who's had any dealings with, adoption, with child protective services, with fostering, this is a very broken system. So well, I doubt they're going to add another thing to their plate when it doesn't seem like they're really doing great at that.
I've been through it. It's pretty – they vet you. First off
– I just mean would they even bother getting a program like this started?
Oh, they wouldn't bother. They don't bother doing anything right. That would do anything. Right. That's the thing. They just put click their ticket up right. On the sign and hope we all just die and forget about it. But they really want to do something. Not only that, talk about – what it would do for these young, inner city kids from the broken families, but also the lion's share of these guys, as I can attest from the barbecue, they're white dudes. Mm. And this would bring a white dude into the black boys' world.
No good?
And no, it would change their probably perception of what they're being hit over the head with every time they turn the news on or hear a politician talking. You have this guy who comes in, this white guy who comes in and mentors or is a big brother. It's not really a mentorship, although I think of a mentor as different. But anyway, big brother, you have this relationship, and now you can say to a group that is closed off that thinks they have a target on their back, oh, there are good people on the other side who want to come in and help. I think it would be impactful, and it would be nice to just have a little concerted effort on it, get behind it a little bit, get it going in some of these big cities. It used to be something that people would talk about a little bit. I mean, when I knew about it, people talked about it, and then it's kind of gone away.
You're
just haven't heard anything about it. Then I started thinking, my guy, Nate, everyone thinks I'm a douche, but he was a horrible high school student. He was just horrible. And he's like, I'm going to go to junior college. I'm like, don't go to junior college. You're just going to go. What are you going to do that's different than what you're already doing, which is being a piss poor student? This is like 1994, 93, 94. Guys into computers. In 1993, I go, computers, man. I think people are going
to
want computers.
Wait for the future.
Yeah, I don't know shit about them, and I don't have one, but maybe people are going to have them, and maybe if you could learn about computers, so go to computer school for 6 months or whatever it is. Do not bother. Or if you go to junior college, just take all computer shit, but focus on computers. Get your livelihood going, and then later on, we want to peck away at the general ed, which no one ever does.
Right,
you can.
He would have been the right age and the right era and the right time to get on the ground floor of like a .com or something.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And thank God you said something because he could have just as easily gone into typewriter repair
right.
in 93.
I was pushing him for toaster repair,
right.
But yeah, I get your meaning.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then I started thinking about those days. And then I started thinking about Tim, the Russian rapper. And then I realized I hadn't busted out one of Tim's beats in a while. So I thought I would do that. So for people who don't know, my kid Nate had no friends because he was an awkward little guy. But he did have a fat Russian friend named Team.
Team.
Which was always – I just feel – it's always weird when somebody says – pronounces something weird and the person keeps asking him what is that, and they go team, and you go what is that again? Team. It's like, okay,
change
third,
it up.
Go with something else. Go with something else. And as I always say, I can toggle right back and forth between Tim and team.
Yeah, no problem.
It's no problema. Yeah. You've been in the country for a decade.
You mix it up.
You're Tim now.
Throw out another one.
Go with Tim. Yeah. I know you have an accent. Just. I'll pretend like my name is Tim,
right.
And I live in the Soviet Union. What's my name, Gina?
Team.
Team. That I would adjust. Yes. I would make the cultural adjustment. Yeah. Team never did make the adjustment. Mm. Heavy guy. Like the gangster rap. And the rap goes a little something like this. Beaches ain't shit, but hoes and fricks suck on these balls and leak on these dick. That's what he would say in the back of my Zuzu Trooper.
That's how it went.
While he was drinking his like 64-ounce big gulp suicide when we're heading up the hill at 30 miles an hour to go to Magic Mountain. I'd drop that trooper into second gear. You know? Remember when you'd have to drop a gear to get up a hill?
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's like, oh, I got a four banger and a full-size SUV, and there's no way I'm putting this thing in fifth and motoring up that hill.
I drove my high school friends in my 81 Toyota Corona. I know exactly what it's like to have to push it.
Real quick, I just drooled. Second of all, did you get that clean, Brian?
We're working on it.
Okay.
Then his next one was... Okay. I got Bach Han like John McEnroe. That beach steps up, I'm smocking the hoe. That's what team. God knows what the hell team is up to.
Please find team.
I don't know if we'd like that result.
Tim's at gulag.
I find that he's going to be even heavier set if we ever see team. I never did get his last name, but he lived not too far away from Nate. We'd go pick him up, and then I was like, what do I care? You guys can go hang out. Let's go to the beach. We'd always go to the beach because the beach was free,
right?
Essentially.
Beaches.
But, yeah, beaches.
Snack of beaches.
Yeah.
Snack or beach up.
And another story I'm fond of with the team is I was... you know, they're 13, 14. They're starting to like the ladies. And team was not desirable. Well, the comedy is they went to Beverly Hills High.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
How the hell did that work?
Because the mom got a bad apartment in the district.
I know the drill.
And like lived in there with like five of her kids.
Right.
But she got into that district so they could go to Beverly Hills. But you have to picture... the you know, ladies from 90210 and then fat team and spindly Nate.
That's tough stuff.
Not gonna work for them. But
they would have done better over here.
Guys, you know? Like, yeah, probably pulling up in BMWs and stuff like that. And they're walking there with their bad backpacks on and stuff. It was not a good place.
I have thoughts about that. Like doing, and I don't know from the school districts here, but I would just think like doing everything you can, because I know somebody who did this, doing everything you can to get your kid into that school district, into Beverly Hills. And then you don't realize as a parent, because you don't remember what it was like in high school, all the other shit they're going to have to deal with that they wouldn't have dealt with if they went to a school that wasn't as Beverly Hillsy.
Well, how about the optics for the Catholic big brothers trying to play the hero? Where's he go? Is he like deep in San Fernando High or in Watts? Yeah. Is it Beverly? You know, they got the swim gym.
That's right. They have their own TV station.
Yeah. So they have an oil derrick.
Right.
That's where they
really
get their money.
Yeah,
they do.
Part of town.
So, but I was trying to explain to them. I was like, God, you two losers are never going to get laid. Like, especially Beverly Hills High. Like, no fucking way. But I was trying to, you know, be fatherly at the time. And they were complaining about no girls would like them.
You got him a prostitute.
And all that kind of stuff. Nice. I should have. I couldn't afford my own prostitute back then, man. So I was like, and I was flat busted. I didn't have any money back then in my life. So it was like kind of. It was like
all these years you thought you got the short end of the stick.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I was not, as a poor person who hung out with other poor people, nobody ever bought anyone else lunch. Mm-hmm. You would just go to eat and then you'd just whack it up every time. If you went to In-N-Out, you paid for your own In-N-Out. Your friend paid for their own In-N-Out. And if you went out to Denny's or something, you just have to whack up that check.
Right.
And so it was weird because I was broke and I felt it was hard to like buy these guys lunch and pay for the whatever we had to pay for, the movie tickets or whatever. But you know, Max Spada, I remember taking him to see Hellraiser in in Westwood, as I recall. And whenever that movie came out, it could have been Hellraiser 2 or Pinhead or whatever it was.
The other one was like late 80s, I think.
It must have been 2, but that put a timestamp on it. Anyway, we're driving to the beach or to Magic Mountain or wherever the hell. Because they used to have Catholic Big Brother Day at like Magic Mountain.
Oh,
or they'd
right.
have like a barbecue. That's or cool. they'd have a church thing or they'd have these, you know, events. Yeah. And yeah, they did. That's the other thing too. They could get businesses mm-hmm. involved.
Yeah.
Airlines could get involved. Amusement parks, restaurants.
That's
you
great.
Know, right? Here's a discount. Bring the kids in. You know, so they were Hellraiser. Let's see, 1987 is the first one. 1988 is the second one. Yeah.
Was this a discount theater? Was it a second rate run or
a bunch of them.
It was matinee.
Okay.
That much I
well,
recall.
Well, I'm just saying if it was the early 90s by the time you saw it.
It was followed by 9 sequels.
Oh, it could have been one of those.
Yeah, maybe it was 3. I don't know, but it could have been it was December 88 was 2, so it could have been
it Hellraiser 3 Hell on Earth or was it Hellraiser Bloodline?
It could have been
came out in the mid 90s.
Yeah, and then maybe Pinhead fought Godzilla or something at some point. But anyway, Nate and team were lamenting over the fact that they couldn't get any chicks at school. And I was like agreeing with them in my head, you know, like,
yeah,
of course, guys are never going to get laid. But I thought I should intervene. So like at some point I said, well, that's because last year you were in the 9th grade. And then this year you're going into the 10th grade and then you're going to get all those freshman chicks who come in who want the, you know, older, more seasoned gentlemen.
Well
They're
played.
All going to be after you. Yeah, I thought it was well played. And then Tim goes from the back seat of the trooper. He goes, let's face it. Nate is too skinny and I'm too fat. I went, well, that's a realistic young man right
yeah.
there.
Good self-assessment.
They look like a 10 standing next to each other.
That's right. Anyway, so, Catholic Big Brother or just Big Brother
like
organization.
That.
They should be pushing it. They should be out there ringing that bell. It should be up on the signs. There should be like a... If they made some sort of effort like they do with water conservation or
right.
secondhand smoke or mask wearing
yep.
or whatever, just go ahead and make it a public thing and push on it a little bit.
And first of all, my dad did this, too, because he was real into, you know, he was the Pied Piper.
Look what happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brian. He was kind of the Pied Piper of kids. So he did this at a time, too. But what is really great about your story is you can't use the excuse, I don't have the money for that. You didn't have any money. The kid just wanted a older, cool guy to spend time with, or guy.
Yeah, he just wanted. Yeah, he just wanted it. He just wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
I had no money at the time. I told you, I got my phone shut off.
Oh,
that's
of
a
him.
Little money I had. I gave my stupid calling card or whatever you'd use back mm-hmm. then, and he found some chick on the internet lived in Kentucky. That was a great conversation. It's like, hey, Adam, yeah. Can you drive me to Kentucky?
Wow.
I don't know.
Bold.
My car overheats when I head up the 2 for La Cañada, so I don't know if I can make it to Kentucky.
What's going on in Kentucky?
That's some chick on the internet. Probably a dude, you know.
Grab up, pack your bags.
Who knows? I gave my stupid calling card, and then I got
so
my
great.
Phone cut off because he talked to her for 2 hours a day, and then they just shut.
After you explicitly told him not to.
Oh, it was a long... It was one of the... I've had many, many conversations in my life that sort of go the way of my mom's pocket door. That's really... That's how it all works with me, which is like my mom's remodeling the bathroom, or the only bathroom in her house.
The bathroom.
Before it was demolished, and it's miniature. It's a miniature little bathroom, and the door swings open. One way the door swings open and blocks the sink, and the other way the door swings open and blocks the bathtub.
Oof,
so it's not – that's a little narrow bathroom. And, you know, I'm a journeyman carpenter, and at some point I go, you can't have this door. And if it swings out, it blocks the hallway. It's all just one big – sort of feng shui clusterfuck.
You're going to have
so
an accordion door.
I said, get a pocket door. you're all in framing now. Everything's wide open. Once you put the drywall up, once you do, there's no more pocket door. You can get good pocket doors. The action's good. Mm-hmm. They'll have ball bearings. It's not the cheap vinyl ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just get a decent pocket door. You slide it in. It'll slide right in mm-hmm. behind the tub. You got room for it here. The studs are all exposed. Now is the time to do it. It's going to take, it's going to be $300. Going to take half a day to put it in. Do it, and your problem will be solved. And she's like, okay. And then
and it was done. Moving.
It was done.
Next story.
Six months later, I walked in, and I was, of course, the door was just swinging, and I went to go use the sink, and my stepdad flung the door open, the doorknob went up my ass while I was at the sink. And I was like, why didn't you do the pocket door? It's like, well, we decided to go with it. And my whole thing is just, please just stop me in the middle of whatever I'm doing. Just go, I have no intention of ever doing this thing. You're talking about, keto or pocket doors or cold water. Just don't, I'm just going to jump right in and go, never going to happen. Yeah. With him, I gave him a long speech about using this card responsibly and using it sparingly. And if he did it, he could keep using it. But if he didn't, it would be taken away. And he went nuts on it. And my phone got shut off 2 weeks later.
You should issue people of a certain age, Adam, you're about there, the card that just says, you hold it up, say, not interested, so we can stop at a certain point.
A bidder's paddle.
To give my in-laws that when it comes to, Sonos. I don't want to explain for the 100th time how it works. Are we listening to Sonos right now? Technically, you're listening to songs, but it's, hold the thing up and just let me know you're not going to listen. It's not going to absorb.
Right.
And we'll move on.
I'm never going to follow this up. The other thing, and speaking of stuff I've spoke about, but as I was watching all the cops and the National Guard and everyone lining up and everyone boarding up and all, first off, as a carpenter, I'm thinking about that plywood.
Mm-hmm.
Where's all that going?
Hopefully it's repurposed from BLM.
Literally millions and millions of sheets of plywood all around this nation. I think we're going to see a lot more skateboard ramps in 2021.
Right. Well, and a lot of under-the-bridge condos.
Yeah, there's going to be a building
boom. Upgrades.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that, and then I thought, what's the plywood really do? Well, it helps a little bit. I don't know how long before the riders start going out with just cordless drills and just backing out screws. But either way, then I thought, wait a minute, one more application for my Tacros.
True.
Because if you had a furniture store or a Foot Locker or whatever, and you had those Tacros just sitting up on the parapet, somebody starts running toward the thing, just dive bomb them. There's just no way. You could never.
It'd be pristine the next day. Your liquor store would be pristine.
Yeah.
That's right. You could not only do away with the plywood, you could just be sitting in your liquor store when the riots were going down.
It's a very good point.
Just sitting there. And also, I thought there's a version of the Tacros that would definitely work with the cops versus the mob, too, which is, you couldn't go after the crows would be trained not to go after the cops, the uniform, and they couldn't go after the mob unless the mob engaged the cops, in which case the attack crows could fly out.
Yeah, and that's who they're protecting.
Their bidding.
Dog. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So thoughts that I had. Yeah. Be a big brother, everybody. Get involved. And they have big sisters.
It's the Big Brothers and Big Sisters. It's the organization.
Yeah, the girls could use it, but the guys need it desperately, I would say, in this particular chapter we're in.
Well, and it's like that old Chris Rock joke. You got to keep the boys off the pipe and the girls off the pole.
That's right. And it does. Just one good relationship outside of the family. Big deal. And yeah, growing up with no dad and no mentorship and no whatever. And by the way, the gang becomes your mentor.
You'll find one.
Yeah, you will find one.
I'm glad to hear you say that about pocket doors, because I was about to ask you. I have two pocket doors in the house. I'm like, is that like a cheap move to replace those? But we like them. They work.
Yeah. The problem.
They're efficient.
Here's the problem.
In the bathroom, so doesn't need to hit the sink or whatever.
The problem with pocket doors is cheap pocket door kits with like hollow core doors. Hollow core doors don't have enough weight or heft to slide nicely. Uh-huh. Got to have a little weight to them. And who I really blame? Star Trek.
Oh, with the
every Star Trek goes doink, zoom, 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 and then you go back to your shitty apartment and you're wrestling with your door to get open. You're like, fuck this. Yeah. I was lied to.
Yep.
That's what I want, and I don't have half of that here, and now I'm pissed off and enough with pocket door.
Actually,
the promise of the pocket door on the Enterprise was false advertising for everybody. We all had the promise. We all went home, argued and negotiated and navigated and wrestled with our pocket doors, and then were devastated and got a bad taste in our mouth over what pocket doors could be and what they actually were, the reality of pocket doors.
You're right.
That's
Our bedroom is two pocket doors, like French doors.
That's bad.
And here, well, we had to put in a lock high because there's no lock and there's a 5-year-old in the house.
Yeah.
So we just put in one of those little, I just said, like, get like a dressing room.
Like a hooker.
Yeah, that's what we did. But I am obsessed with humidity and humidifiers, and I don't like to be dry, and I don't like my nose to be dry and get sore throat. So I blast the humidifier. Well, guess what happens when you do that all night with two pocket doors?
Oh, the door swell.
You're locked in your room.
Oh, the action. Yeah. Seize the action.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What do we got here? We're going to do Who the F Sells This S.
All right.
Got some calls coming up. First, let me tell you about Upstart.com. Paying off debt, feel like an uphill battle. High interest rates keep you in an endless cycle. Upstart, fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan, all online, whether you're paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. Over 500,000 people use Upstart to get a simple, fixed, monthly rate. Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like income, employment history, all. They look at everything. And they offer smarter rates with trusted partners. In 5 minutes online, you can see if you're you can see your rate and upfront for loans between $1,000 and $50,000. And you can qualify fast. And the funds are fast, too. 1 business day after being accepted. Right, Dawson?
Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/Adam. That's upstart.com/Adam. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Adam.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with the Who the F Sells This S right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Corolla Drinks fans, 818 Rye Whiskey is available now at CorollaDrinks.com. 818 is a whiskey from Adam's backyard, not the gated communities in the same area code. It's aged 3 years in new American oak and couples a malty sweetness with a complex rye finish. Adam and the team made this whiskey for fans of the show. They made this whiskey for the regulars. Get your bottle of 818 Rye at CorollaDrinks.com. Hurry, we will sell out. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, this is Chris from Indy. Hey, Tin Horn Flats can put an instant stop to all the harassment with one simple solution. They just need to put a sign out front that says, French Laundry.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I haven't been to the French Laundry. They have fried pickles there, Brian?
Don't remember that. There were like 14 courses, but I can't remember the fried pickles.
I don't know if this is going to work.
Was it an essence of fried pickle foam?
Oh, yeah. It was actually deconstructed fried pickle. There were breadcrumbs over here.
Cornichon on one side.
All right. We got the intro.
Yes, we do.
When you're not trolling for prostitutes on Craigslist, you'll notice some crazy stuff for sale.
Knife block. Perfect condition, but no knives. $1. Cash only.
So it's time to answer the question, who the fuck sells this shit?
All right, we got Rachel from Woodland Hills. Rachel?
Yes.
What you got for sale?
Right now, I guess you called about the Winnie the Pooh keychain.
Oh, from Disney. Someone like that.
And how much you asking for it?
$3.
I feel like that's more than the original cost of the Winnie the Pooh.
No, actually, it's not. Actually, it was $9 originally.
Mm. Yeah, and, we're looking at it.
And now some person will be so excited to get this for $3.
But, Adam, just before we go any further, this is serious cash buyers only.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. You don't want any tire kickers.
Right.
Looky-loos coming by. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I look at, yeah, because I've said many times to my wife, you want to go out keychain look? And
right.
She says, we can't afford it. We're just looking.
The tree's like royalty.
We're just looking. We're heading, it's just a short jump to Woodland Hills.
Make them think you're going to drop some coin.
That's right. Yeah, and act serious. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
You're so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love you guys. You're so hysterical, really.
I got questions. Like, I want to know, is that a skeleton key that it was hanging on? What kind of key are we talking about? What kind of lock? Schlage? Auto ignition?
Quick set.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That would be up to you guys, what you would want to put on it.
Well, pardon me, but I like to know the history of my keychains,
right?
Because...
Oh,
it's new.
The story?
It's new, sweetie.
Oh, it's new. Yeah,
yes,
okay. Well, that's good, because I do feel like I'm not a superstitious guy, but I feel like it carries, it has a memory.
Energy.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, oh, this thing used to be attached to a van and the guy killed himself in it.
No, that's, can do.
That's an issue for me.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah.
This
so,
is brand new.
So what happened, Rachel? You shell out the $9.
Oh, it wasn't mine. It was my grandkids. Like anybody else. Everybody buys too much stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they spend too much money. Then they stick it in a drawer when they get home, and several years go by, and then Graham ends up with it and says, "What do I need all this stuff?"
Smart.
But what about
and,
it? What about
so his... Grandma sells it and then uses money to help people in the neighborhood, whatever. We have a local pantry here that I buy a lot of stuff for.
You buy half a can of garbanzo beans with $3.
Yes, in the senior, come on, you know my area. There's a senior center that's, people are hurting right now with this pandemic stuff. And
every little bit helps.
Yeah, so a lot of people also, you know, thank God I don't need to make a living with this stuff. And so years ago, I had a business and would sell things for clients, and now I'm older and that business closed up because of the pandemic. Mm. Can't go to people's homes anymore. So I just am selling whatever there is at a low price, because you'd be surprised how many people really need help. They're really struggling.
Well, Rachel?
Yes.
It strikes me, I was just talking about the story of the guy who got into the police car chase 20 years ago. He went up the hill I lived up under the Hollywood sign in Beechwood Canyon. He came back around. Mm-hmm. He ended up, I think, in Woodland Hills running through a senior center. I don't know if that's the same one we're speaking of.
They're still probably fixing it up.
What about your relationship with your grandkids? Well, I feel like this is what you call a keepsake. You know what I mean? The kind of thing you could think about. You know, you could remember little Timmy buying the Winnie the Pooh back when.
Oh, the Winnie the Pooh. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Yeah. These kids are California kids.
Yeah. Too much junk.
Enough said. Enough said.
Two of them went gay already.
California.
You know, and so the things that they really love and have memories for, obviously, they're keeping those.
Mm-hmm.
And they have them and they cherish them. Mm. And all this other stuff is just, you know the way it is. It's Southern California. Some kids have way too much. Other kids have not enough.
Hold
and
on,
this ends up
this
in this ends up in grandma's junk drawer. So there's nobody's going to miss it.
Nobody's going to miss it. Nobody cares. But then sometimes, you know, people will come to buy stuff. You see, as you're talking to them, they don't have money, and they're not being, you know, a smart, excuse me, smart ass. They're just sincere. They want to give for their kids, and they don't have the money. So, you know, grandma can throw a few things in because I'm not going to miss it. I don't care. And most of the money or whatever I sell, either I give it away to charity or I buy something, you know, for somebody else. And it's something to do even more during this pandemic. Otherwise, you'd be bored to death, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, Grandma Rachel.
Yes.
Do the kids clean out the junk and give it to you, or do you go over there on a junk hunt?
Oh, I never go. Like I said, I used to do. I'm a professional project manager and organizer, so I used to get people like you or Jimmy Kimmel, people that are famous that have a lot of stuff, but they don't want to sell it. They don't want to deal with that, and they don't want people coming to their homes. They don't really need the money, and they're scared to who they're going to give it to, and I would just repurpose that stuff or make sure it got to the right places.
Like an estate sale for someone who's still living.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Rachel, I'm looking at my screen. It says your daughter was on Kimmel's show?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Maybe about
that's how life works.
Also, you guys have called several times because we're always selling weird things.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's a client or whether it's for my grandkids, we're always selling odd things, I guess, and people find that hysterical.
How did your daughter end up on Kimmel's show?
We were selling someone who I won't give their name. Someone rather famous had a party, and they had all these men's briefs, and they had them hand-painted and decorated.
Oh.
Okay.
It's like McFarlane's, isn't it?
Army
like
Hammer.
Like Oscar, Best in Show, with a little Oscar on the front, if you get my drift. And people just thought they were hysterical.
If this is Hugh Jackman, it's going to confirm a lot of suspicions I've had over the years. But I don't know yet, so I don't want to say.
You're so funny.
This is... So Jimmy found it as sort of a human interest story.
Yeah, it was human interest.
Mm. So lived in Woodland Hills your whole adult life?
Oh, no, I'm from the Midwest and then lived in New York and then came here.
Oh, I hate
Not for
Woodland
the weather,
Hills.
Just I came here because a friend was sick and my kids were young at the time. And then, you know, things happen, you end up, okay, I'll stay.
Wow, Rachel, you're such a saint.
Yeah, it always ends up happening that these people are so much better than us.
Yeah, I never look through my junk drawer and think, how much of stuff can I sell, and then how much of the money can I give to the senior center? Yeah.
That's but see, my latter life, after I retired, I had another whole life organizing people's stuff and working with people that were hoarders. And I don't mean hoarders like on the show you see people that it's, you know, really dirty and crappy and nothing you think you would want. It may be hard for you to believe, but there's many famous people who have too much money and they just buy, instead of being happy with one pair of shoes, they'll buy 20.
Can you sell cars?
Do I sell cars?
Can you?
Yes. We
if somebody's
sell
hoarding
cars.
Them? Good.
This is, I never really thought of the professional organizer as such a first world problem.
Oh, yeah. But too much stuff.
We have to tell people in other lands, we have too much shit. You know how you don't have enough stuff? We have a problem
we
as well.
We have too much. And sometimes I have a client, and that client can... They can outfit maybe five or six families on just crap that they don't care about. You know, whatever it is, whether it's furniture, an old car, yard things, toys, clothes.
I never...
People just have too much.
The part that I never understand is when you have a kid, you get the strollers, you get the bassinet, you get all the stuff, then you use it for 2 years, and then the kid outgrows them sort of incrementally, and now you have a perfectly good stroller, bassinet, whatever, changing table... And then somehow when the next person has a kid, it's all new stuff again. I can never...
Should all be gifted.
I can never understand why that stuff... I had a... let me tell you how much worse I am than you, Rachel.
No,
this is a true story.
You're so funny.
We had twin strollers. And I used to use the twin strollers. But the thing about the twin strollers is the kids, you end up taking them out one at a time. It's like it's like your car has a passenger seat, but how often is somebody alone, sitting in it? Yeah. So I famously was going over to Kimmel's to watch football on a Sunday when he lived up the street. And I took my son with me. I don't know, it was 2.5 or 3 at the time. I was bringing a 12-pack of beer.
You're so funny.
I could not. Thank you. I could not. I could not. Thank you, Brian. I couldn't fit it in the hammock underneath the stupid thing where the diapers were going. Right. So, of course, I just put it in the seat next to him.
Sure, got an empty seat.
Walking down the street. And of course, neighbor guy, you know, watering the lawn just looks like I'm taking my kid for a walk on a Sunday morning with a 12-pack at 10:45. But
fucking man show guy.
Yeah.
Living
so,
the life.
Yeah, that begs another story, but I'll get to it. But so here's how bad I am. You ready, Rachel?
Yeah.
Had the twin stroller. It was a nice twin stroller. And as per usual, at my house, once the kids were done with the stroller just kind of sat lingered in the entry hall or it just sort of sat around. And then I said, as I always do, because this is my mode, are we using the stroller anymore? No, the kids are walking around. Okay, let's get rid of it. Let's get it down to the mission or the church or the whatever. And it was like, and then it sat for a long time. And then I put it down into the garage. And then I was like, take this shit to the church. We don't need it. I don't know why I'm tripping over it. Just get rid of it. And then I had a thing. Then I said to Olga, take this to your church or something. Just give it to somebody. I'm tired of this thing. And she's like, okay. And I was like, but now put it in your car. Like, take it tonight. Yeah. Like, I don't want it here. I have this whole thing where people go to the shop and they like show up with stuff and they're like, oh yeah, that's my hockey stick. I was going to go bring it, put it in your car right now.
Just you're like
put
Jimmy it right Conway after the Lufthansa heist.
Right.
Get it out.
Take it back.
Get it out. And I was like, take it with you. And I just kept saying, take it with you to the church. And maybe she forgot that night and the next night. And there was something where I like actually put it in her car or whatever. And the next day, like 2 days later or something, I went down to the garage and the stroller was back in the garage. And I was like, fuck it. No one's getting the stroller now. And I took it out to the dumpster and I just busted it up and threw it away.
Wow.
That's
wow.
how bad
you
I am.
Show the stroller.
That's how bad I am.
You know what's weird, too, on top of tangentially? Goodwill, I'm sure, you know, Salvation Army, whatever, won't take car seats, cribs, and probably stroller. I don't know about strollers, but I know about car seats and cribs.
A lot of things that are fabric. I also, now because
this
of
is fucked up because this should go, those are big ticket items. And those should go to like a person who needs
and
them.
And with Buy Nothing and the Buy Nothing group, and I like to get rid of this shit. Did you know? I'm sure Brian did. I didn't. Car seats have expiration dates.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're technically not allowed to reuse them. Retarded.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Stupid.
Yeah. They should just be like, if you get a crash helmet, if you race cars and you have a helmet, it'll have a date on it. And your Hans device, your neck restraint system, has a date on it because stuff fatigues and becomes unsafe. You know, like an airplane after X amount of hours and have to rebuild it or whatever it is. But I should be able to, if the helmet expires in 4 years, I should be able to give it to somebody else so they can use it up until that date. That's how a car seat should work.
Yeah.
Hey, Rachel?
Yes.
You're literally doing the Lord's work, literally. And
you're so funny. I'll tell you, most people, though, are just like you. They have good ideas about how they're going to get rid of stuff. Or how they're going to give it to somebody. But the bottom line is they life takes over and they get busy with their work, their kids, and the stuff gets shoved into the garage here, there, whatever. And
too much stuff.
That's why when they're moving or if they call us to do a job for them or whatever, they're just happy. I mean, people have, you just, I'm sure you know this, but people at times will say to us like, oh, my God, we're just about moved in the old cars there. Please, 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 Rachel, get rid of that for me. I don't want it there. I don't want to see it again.
Yeah, but when it's...
I don't have the paperwork. I don't have whatever. Just take it away and figure
Rachel,
it out.
You've,
give it away.
You've
sell
convinced
it. Do whatever.
Me.
I can't deal with it.
I will... if I can find, obviously the $3 is a little rich for my blood, but if I can get a couple of friends to go in on it.
Yeah.
And we'll do like a
fractional ownership.
We'll do
like
do a
timeshare.
Yeah.
Like we'll
every other
transfer
weekend
to your keychain. You can have Winnie for a week.
You get it for the winter.
Yeah. I don't know. Everyone should have that gene where stuff sitting around in their house, never being used, bugs the shit out of
yes.
them.
Well, it's like you say about throwing a party, you know, once a year to clean all this stuff out. I get very blind to things very quickly with clutter and stuff. But if somebody comes over, I see everything with fresh eyes and then I can see what it's time to get rid of.
Yeah. I had a roommate. I've had a million horrible roommates at this. Put all their boxes and shit and just put it in the entry, whatever, and they never touch it.
De facto furniture.
Yes.
Set stuff on top
and
of
they,
it.
Yeah, and they don't feel any obligation to remedy it. Yeah, the other story, as the story goes, I used to do it in my stand up, which is the neighbor guy would see me walking with the 12 pack and Sonny and the double stroller down the street with no context. So. Just thinking I was taking a walk with a 12-pack with my son, and it was Sunday. Same guy had subsequent weeks later, had the same run-in with the same guy. Just one of those guys who, I don't know, you guys helped me solve this problem. There are guys that spend an inordinate amount of time standing on their lawn.
Oh, yes.
And I've owned many homes. You're never going to drive by and just find me just standing on the lawn. You might see me walking up or walking back.
Or doing something.
Or doing something. But yeah. These guys
not just
got
surveying
the
koozie. Land. Yeah.
Sometimes they have the hose out, yeah. But that's just a thinly disguised excuse for you standing on your lawn.
That's just stage business.
I don't know if they're paranoid or they're trying to ward
it's
off
a neighborhood
people.
Watch.
Is that, yeah, because there's
sure.
just the dudes who just stand on their lawn. And
like
this
it.
Guy lived directly between Jimmy's house and my house, and he just stood on the lawn. And
is it the fox?
Later on, the fox was actually in Santa Monica. The later on,
of course,
when I was over at Jimmy's again, I brought the dog. I brought Molly, and I was at now, this time. I left Sonny at home, and I brought Molly, and Jimmy's also allergic to dogs, but he didn't protest enough, so I brought Molly. And I was in the house, and Jimmy had the smoker going and the kegerator and everything, and I was just drinking beers. And and at some point, somebody came running into the house and said, Molly's gone. Like, got out of the yard, left the gate door open. Molly took off out the whatever. Molly would just take off, didn't have a direction, wasn't going anywhere. And I was like, holy shit. And it was funny. I was wearing my sweatpants and I was wearing my Sunday beer drinking clothes, like sweatpants and running shoes, t-shirt, whatever. And Molly took off.
It's your podcasting clothes now.
Yes, my podcast. And I just took off running down the street. And I was just running and went down the one street, was behind Jimmy's house, and then up the other street. And I'm in a full sprint, just chugging down the street. And same neighbor, dude, is out there watering his lawn, never leaves his post. And he's giving me a look, like the same look he was giving me when I was walking Sunny. And I was like, oh, what's this guy do? He stands on his lawn and gives me the stink eye. I never set my beer down. I was holding a beer bottle. At this point, I was holding a Heineken. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I'm holding the beer, and I was running down the street with the beer. And now this guy thinks I jog with a beer. There's no other context. I wasn't yelling the dog's name, or I was just running down the street, had a sweat going,
pace,
had a beer. So all he knows is that I take my son for a stroll with a 12-pack, but when I jog, I'll break one off.
Yeah.
That's like such a commitment to drinking.
Oh, wow.
I love that you're judging him.
Walking the walk.
Yes, I was. I am.
Now, how dare he? How dare he observe
look
me?
Look at you.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know. Do we all... I have a neighbor guy who does the lawn thing in my neighborhood now. Do we like that guy because has a vigil, and he's always got an eye on who's coming. You know, I don't recognize that van. I'm making a phone call. Do we like him or do we not like him? Because it's always where the dog stops and wants to take a shit, and you have to get the bag out. And
he's in front of him.
And it's also a weird relationship, which is, do you say hi to that guy or not? Because they don't seem like they want to say hi. They're just sitting there with their hose.
Like kind of Clint Eastwood-y.
Yeah, they're just there. Yeah, Gran Torino. Yes.
Depends on the age. If it's me, yes, you don't like that guy. But we had an old neighbor, Jim, who did that. He died, unfortunately, a few years ago. But we first moved in. He was the 85-year-old neighbor who just kind of hung out and watched the neighborhood, knew everything that was going on, knew when the weird car was parked. And it's like, yeah, you're an old guy. You got nothing to do. You should be patrolling the neighborhood. It was charming.
Put him to work.
I aspire to that guy.
I do too. I'm jealous of those guys. They just can hang out all day on their porch.
You guys are lucky because you had elderly gentlemen. I have a firecracker of a young lady who has two small kids.
No.
She lives next door. She is constantly lighting up her man, just lighting him, riding his ass, yelling at him.
Really?
But I like her because she's very nice to us, but she will throw down with like the local junkies and she'll get people to scat. She's just, she has a lot of energy and you'll hear it through the windows.
Mm-hmm. Is she what we call a Carmen, which would be a Latina Karen?
It's more of a...
Oh, interesting.
I'm gonna go ahead and name them Carmen.
Yeah, let's go with that.
She's a Carmen?
I think so. I think so.
I can't even understand the people that are just home all day. I don't even understand that concept, but okay. All right, Richard Kine is going to be. What do we love about Richard Kine?
Besides Bing Bong.
Yeah, he is one of the voices in the great Pixar movie Inside Out, which I loved before Tessa was born, and I loved him more.
When you hear him sing that song, it is a grapefruit in the throat. Yeah. What happens to him? Yeah, and I mean, but he was in like. I should have looked, but wasn't he in like old Gary Shandling episodes? I mean, I've seen Richard Kine since I was a kid.
Yeah.
He seems affable.
Yeah, very.
Yeah. Let's hope he doesn't destroy us.
I would hate that.
Oh, nominated for Tony Awards. Gina, you should know. You know everyone's ever been nominated for a Tony.
Clooney was his best man.
Yeah, very interesting. I didn't
Clooney
know that.
Was his best man?
That's what it says.
Fathers?
Yeah, they were roommates. Clooney lived at his apartment and played a lot of pranks on Richard.
Wow.
Interesting.
Voila. This is great.
Yeah, and of course, Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is... there's never a show I'm waiting more to return than Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I'm so lost. I have no idea.
We're on year five of their hiatus.
Rudderless.
Yeah. All right. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back with Richard Kine right after this.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.